If you would take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we will begin there. The children may be dismissed to children's church while they're going. If somebody would mind flicking on the fans, get a little air stirring in here. Thank you. That's it. If you would stand with me in honor of God's word, we've got, Lord willing, a couple this week and next week left in the Sermon on the Mount. As we're looking at the life of a disciple, as Jesus is teaching, he's gathered his disciples around him, teaching them what it means to follow him. And we will begin here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, and read down through verse 12. The Lord Jesus said, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with measure And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, we thank you once more for your word. We thank you that it is eternal, and we thank you that it instructs us. Lord, I pray this morning that you would fill this room, that you would give us attention to what you would have said, that you would give me the words that you want said, and that we would go from here a people that are growing in Christ and living more like you each and every day. May you be praised and uplifted, and would you quicken your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Used to be that the most well-known verse in the Bible was John 3:16. If God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In our society today, perhaps the most well-known verse in the Bible is Matthew 7, verse 1. "Judge not, that you be not judged," right? The minute that something is said, that an activity or something like that is wrong, the very first thing that comes out of somebody's mouth most of the time, if they know you're a Christian, will be, "Hey, judge not. You can't judge me, bro," or sis, whatever it might be, right? Judge not. Well, this morning I want to look at the title of this message is Living the Golden Rule. And it seems like that the passage that we read are three different thoughts, but really they are, as Jesus is preaching, there's a connection between all of them. He is speaking how we're to live. He's telling us how we're to live as his followers. And the very first thing that he says in saying, "Judge not," as you will notice, immediately he tells us what we're not to judge, but then he tells us what we are to judge. And if you go throughout the scripture, you will find that we are told in different places that we are to judge. I'll give you that in a minute. So the question we have to ask is, what does he mean by judging? A man one time got onto a ship. This is back when the main mode of transportation was ocean liners. He got onto a ship. The story goes, this man's name was Mr. Porter, or Potter, rather, Mr. Potter. Mr. Potter got onto this ship and was a wealthy man. And he found out that in boarding the ship, he was going to be roomed and bunked with another person on this particular transatlantic cruise. And so he met the man kind of at the front desk, actually. And so they went down and they saw their quarters, the room that they would be in, and they checked everything out. Everything looked fine. But when he had a moment, he went back up discreetly to the front desk that checked him in. And he told the porter there, his name was Potter, he told the porter there, he said, I wonder if you wouldn't mind doing something for me. And said, well, sure. You know, he's a wealthy man. He said, would you take my gold watch here and a few other valuables, and would you store them in the ship's safe? And he said, I'd be happy to do that, sir. Is there a reason? He said, yeah. The man that I'm being bunked with, I just, you know, just after meeting him and his appearances, I got some concerns, and I'd feel much more confident if my valuables were stored in the ship's safe. Man, and the porter said, I absolutely understand that, sir. In fact, he was, your bunkmate was just up here, and he said the same thing. you've heard the story, don't judge a book by its cover, right? Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. And then he goes on to tell us what we are to judge. First point this morning is that we are to judge ourselves righteously. The law was not given as a measuring stick to judge others, but it was given as a mirror to reveal our need for God's grace. And the people that Jesus was addressing, and some of them there were undoubtedly the Pharisees there, and the Pharisees, as you know, were the ones that everybody thought of as righteous. In fact, he had spoken of them earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, saying, except your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Saying that we need a higher righteousness, a righteousness that is not attainable through human effort and work. But they're in the crowd, and what they had done is they had turned God's law into a system whereby they could compare themselves to others and determine who was, on the outside, more righteous, who was more worthy in God's sight. And what Jesus is doing throughout the Sermon on the Mount is he is revealing to us our need. That it is not others who have the greatest need, it is myself. And it is yourself that has the greatest need. So here's what he says, don't judge. And when he uses it in this term, this word judge can mean different things. It can mean a person who sits and discerns between two cases, two matters, like a judge in a courtroom would be. It can also mean just to discern or to decide between this or that. And it can also mean to condemn. And so what we have to do when we come to this is we have to say, what is it that Jesus is saying here? Because in John chapter 7, in verse 24, he told the people there, addressing the Pharisees, he says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Discern with righteous judgment. And later on in the New Testament, we are told that as believers, we are actually in the body of Christ, we are to hold one another accountable and to encourage one another towards love and good works. And it actually says that if there is a believer that is willfully, openly sinning against the Lord, that we are to confront them lovingly in order to bring them back in to fellowship with the Lord and with one another. That's why he says in Galatians chapter 6 that if any man's overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And that's why, in another place, Paul says that a certain man in the Corinthian church, he said, you're to put him out of the church because he is openly living in sin, so that he would know the rebuke of the Lord and hopefully be restored. And that was in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that, they had put him out, and the man had come to repentance, and they didn't want to receive him back. And he got unto them in that case, and he said, no, he's repented. You restore him. You see, the reason I go through all this is you have to, when you come to a passage like this, especially when it's misused in our society today, and the reason, the way it's misused is that any time that a proclamation is made that such and such, this or that is sin, the response from the world is, judge not. And yet the Lord has declared it to be sin, right? So what is it that Jesus is talking about? Here he's talking about condemnation. Condemnation. What is condemnation? Condemnation is that when we say of another individual that we determine about them that they are without hope, and we shut them off and cast them aside. What is condemnation? Condemnation is when we make a determination about somebody else. What is condemnation? What is this type of judgment? Well, just turn on any opinion channel on the news in our political climate today, and you will see people pointing fingers back and forth at one another when they themselves have done the same thing, right? Much of what will go on for news is they said this, they said that. And in the very process, they've said the same thing. And if we're honest, you and I have been guilty of those things too, right? Saying something against someone else, condemning them unrighteously. And so here's what Jesus says: for with the same measure, with the same judgment that you use against somebody else, you're going to be judged. And Jesus points out the point, the application here, by saying to take the plank out of your eye first. What Jesus is telling his followers is that if we are to judge, we are to judge ourselves. Rather, we are to allow ourselves to stand before God's word and allow it to judge our heart and our motives first. Only then will we see our need for God's grace, and only then will we be appropriately neighborly to those who need God's grace as well. That's the whole point of this message in a nutshell. When Jesus says, don't judge, he's saying, don't look at your neighbor down the road first. Look at my own need. Look at me. In other words, the scripture is not to be used as a battering ram, as a weapon, in order to beat somebody else over the head, but the scripture is first to be used as a scalpel to be applied to our own heart and do surgery on ourselves first. Paul said in Romans 14:4, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. We're not to judge our brother or sister in Christ, condemning them, but we are to first allow God's word to search our own hearts. Jesus said it this way. He said, take out the mote, the speck in your own eye. I want you to get this picture here. Here's a man that's standing there, and he sees that there is a little speck, a little piece of dirt in his neighbor's eye. And he's saying, hey, let me help you out with that. Gerald, I see there's something there, but the whole time I've got this big old splinter that's sticking out of my eye, right? Gerald's going to say, doctor, heal yourself first. You've got a problem first. I think you ought to take care of. Well, we were doing trim here a couple of weeks ago, this point was driven home to me. I don't know if this applies in any way, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We're putting trim up. I was using a brad nailer to hang something, and I shot a piece of trim nail, and it the nail must have hit one that was behind it already there, and the piece broke off and flew back, hit me right here. You could actually see it coming. It was fast. I mean, it's bam. Oh man, I thought it punctured my eye, and I was jumping around. Starla came running out and said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" I thought for sure I'm going to have blood flowing down and all sorts of stuff. Aren't you just encouraged this morning? went in there, I couldn't even see a mark. Thankfully, the Lord protected me, but Starla was like, why aren't you wearing safety glasses? And so every time I start to put up trim now and she sees me, she said, where are your safety glasses? And so I put them on. They haven't hit the safety glasses for some reason. But I'm thankful for those, right? But I can't imagine. Think with me for a moment here. If say it did stick in my eye and I look over at Starla and I'm hopping around, ow, ow, and I look at her and she's got a little piece of mascara that's floating down in her eye, and I say, well, honey, let me help you take that out first. She goes, hey, can you even see straight? The scripture says that we are to allow God's word to reveal our own need first. Romans 2, 1 through 3, Paul condemned self-righteous judgment of others. He says, you are of no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Self-righteous judgment of others reveals that we have not allowed God's word to impact our own heart first. That we have not rightly seen our own condition. That we think ourselves better than someone else. And we begin to condemn them. And when we do so, what we're revealing is our own pride. We're saying, I'm better than that person. And we're testifying to the world that we have not truly repented ourselves. Jesus is saying, look at your own heart. Allow God's word to search your own heart. Now, he's not saying, do not proclaim what is sin and what is not sin. That's not judging someone. That's declaring what God's word says. But he is saying, do not condemn another person. You know why? Because he is the one who will sit as the judge at the last day. That's his responsibility. That's his role. You and I are to, in love, go to somebody and share with them how they can have freedom from sin. But first, we must cast out the log that's in our own eye. Before you attempt to use God's word to analyze others, we're so tempted to do this. Make sure that you first applied it to yourself. Before attempting to analyze others, apply God's word to yourself first. The goal is restoration and healing, not self-righteous comparison. Well, then he says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. Well, right there, he's showing us that we have need for discernment, right? It's not judging someone, but it's having need for discernment. Many times Jesus told his disciples as they would go out, he said, if you go and you go to a city or a town and they do not receive your word, then shake off the dust of your feet and go on from that town. Don't waste your time there. Well, is he contradicting himself? No. He's saying there are certain things that are holy. And what he was talking about is he was illustrating from the temple. He was saying, don't give the meat that's holy and cast it out to the dogs. No, if somebody has no appetite, they hear God's word and they utterly reject it and they just refuse to receive it, pray for them. Pray that the Lord will work in their heart, but move on as a disciple of the Lord. Keep following him. That's what he's saying there. And so there is need for discernment, but there is not need to judge them. That's not our role. Our role is simply to give them the truth, to tell somebody in love the truth of God, and then allow the Lord to deal with them. He's the judge. He's the one that'll work things out in the end. You don't know. You may have planted a seed that years later bears fruit. It's not your role to determine when or where that seed will bear fruit. That's up to the Lord. Your role is simply to share and then to move on. Well, then he says, ask, seek, and knock. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be open to you. As we're reading this morning, as we're studying this morning in this passage, it seems like, well, he just completely shifted gears. And in fact, if in your Bible, there's probably a subheading like there is in mine. But Jesus is preaching a sermon. And one of the things that is being revealed here is that if you're going to ask, first you have to understand that you have need, right? Who here this morning has a need? Yeah. Do you know what your greatest need is? The Lord Himself. Fellowship with Him, right? If we have allowed the Word to do its job, not in trying to take the Word and apply it to somebody else, but first allowing the Holy Spirit to take His Word and apply it to our own heart, what will inevitably happen is that we will come to a place of recognizing our need before God, right? If you allow God's Word to do what God's Word intends, you are going to come under conviction. The Holy Spirit will show you where you're wrong. He will show me where I'm wrong. And that will drive us, it should drive us to prayer, to asking the Lord for our need. That's why he says here, that's why it's connected. Ask, it will be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be open. And he says, what man of you is going to give when their children ask for something? Why are you going to give something bad? Now, many times my children ask me for candy. Sometimes I say yes, but I'm not a grandparent yet, so sometimes I have to say no. Their favorite thing to do when their mom goes shopping or something is they come to me and say, Dad, can we watch a movie? And I've learned through my loving wife, they can't watch a movie every time she steps out. And so I'll have to tell them no. It's not good for them, right? But if they come and they ask, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have an apple? You know what I do? I go into the fridge and I find the most rotten apple I can find. No, that's not what I do. I tell them, you can have an apple. Absolutely. It's good for you, right? And here's what the Lord is saying. If you go to the Father, ask expectantly. Ask expectantly. He's a good Father. And if we ask for what is good, and His will, He knows it's good, He will grant it. Over in the book of Luke, in a parallel passage to this, Jesus amplifies this and goes a little bit further. He says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Not just good things. But in Luke, when Jesus preached it there, he said he will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You see, when we allow God's word to be applied to our own heart first, we will see our need for God. And we should be driven to prayer. We should be driven to say, Lord, help. Make me more like you. Did you know the more you walk with the Lord, the more you're going to see your need for him? The closer you walk with the Lord, the more will be revealed in your own life that needs to be changed and is going to drive you to say, Lord, I need more help. Here's the promise that Jesus gives. He says, ask. Ask. Don't wallow in that and say, oh, woe is me. Turn to your Father and say, Lord, help me. And He will give us what is good. He will give us the Holy Spirit to comfort and to guide and to instruct us. He will give us the good things that we need in this life in order to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. So He says, ask expectantly. He's a good father. That's what James says over in the book of James. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, who here lacks wisdom? Is Solomon in the room? Anybody here the wisest man that ever lived? Who here lacks wisdom? You can put your hand up. He says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, freely, and doesn't chastise when you ask Him. God wants us to come to Him and say, Lord, I have need. He invites us to. He wants us to understand our dependence and our need for Him. He invites us into His presence, and He doesn't chastise us when we recognize that we have need of Him. But James says, but let him ask in faith. In other words, let him ask expecting that good thing, expecting that God is a good God who will supply our need, who will meet us in our want. Let him ask in faith, because he that lacks faith, he that doubts, is like a wave of the sea tossed back and forth. When you go to the Lord, recognizing your own need, say, Lord, help me. Go confidently. Go expectantly. Because God loves to hear that prayer. In the Old Testament, there's a verse. God said that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth, on behalf, searching for those whose hearts are toward Him, so that He can show Himself strong. When you go before the Lord and you say, Lord, I have need, God will meet you, and He will show His grace strong in your life. May not always be exactly the way you want it, but it'll be exactly what you need. You remember Paul. Paul said three times, I had this thorn in the flesh. I asked God to remove it. And finally, the Lord told me, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. I'm not going to remove it, but I'm going to give you my power to go through it. And Paul said, I will therefore rejoice in God. I'll glory in my weakness so that God's power can be at work in my life. Ask God expectantly. He will give you exactly what you need. And finally, verse 12, here's the golden rule. Live with others graciously. You've heard this since the time you were a child. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. This sums up, Jesus says, the law and the prophets. Love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Right? We call it the golden rule. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. And so what Jesus has done here is He's moved from judging others, condemning them, to say, no, look at your own heart. See your own need. And when you see your own need, you will go to the Father of all grace. You will be driven to Him to ask what is really your need, and that is aid from above. The deepest need of every human heart is restoration and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to know God, and that only comes by knowing Christ in faith. By looking at what Christ has done for us, by recognizing that we are sinners and that we have need of being reconciled to God ourselves. The problem is not them. The problem is me, right? And when we come to that place and we go before the Lord, He says, ask expectantly, because that heart, that person who is saying, Lord, I need you, God will meet that. He promises to meet it. And when you have seen the Lord meet your own need, when you have received grace from the Lord, what should be the response towards others? But to treat them the way you would like to be treated. Now, oftentimes we take that verse and we say, well, treat others the way you want to be treated. You should treat me this way. But that's not what it is it? When we read it, we say, they've mistreated me. How would I like to be treated? Have I received grace from the Lord? How would I like to be treated in a situation like this? How can I show grace to them? Do you see the reverse that takes place? We are moved from judging others to loving others and being in right fellowship with God. Where is your heart this morning? So we've been preaching. Is there somebody that you this week have been critical of? Maybe. Justifiably so. But have you allowed the Lord to search your own heart first? Have you said, Lord, what is my need? Have you received grace from Him so that you can respond to that person in a gracious way, treating them the way you would like to be treated, rather than condemning them? Because that's not what you want for yourself, is it? Would you stand with me this morning? The way that we receive grace is through the cross.